Progressive is proud to honor our veterans by donating vehicles to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. This year celebrates 8 years and more than 750 vehicles donated. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Greetings. Welcome to the Death Star, where our opponent's dreams come to die.
Commence primary ignition.
What is up, Raider Nation? Your buddy Murph back once again for another episode of RFR Rundown. That's right. That's where we jump into the fan cave and talk about all of the biggest stories that are within Raider Nation throughout the course of the week. I started this last week with the part one of our kind of like our preseason rundown. It was just me here in the fan cave, and same thing tonight. We're just going to go through some of the bigger stories this week, just you and me, and then we're going to get into back into RFR Live as of this Wednesday when my buddy Swaggy will be here for sure, and probably Uncle Mosh as well. And so look forward to rejoining you and the RFR crew as we get back into the kind of the full swing of the season around here in the fan cave. So part of that show, that RFR Live show, of course, is the interaction with you, with Raider Nation. Our listeners are the absolute best. Our chat room is the best. You can find us on the YouTubes each and every week.
America, go to the YouTube right now.
Find us on the YouTube and jump in there and join in the chat. The chat is funnier than we are. They know more about football than we do, and it's a great time in there, Raider Nation. So definitely check that out. It's youtube.com/Murph's Fan Cave. That is every Wednesday night, usually around 7 Eastern when we get started. Of course, we're all kind of waiting on Uncle Mosh there, though, usually. But anyway, so check us out there on the YouTubes, and check us out on any podcast service. Just search for Murph's Fan Cave. That's M-U-R-F-S Fan Cave. And so speaking of that show, speaking of RFR Live, as I mentioned, we feature all of your voicemails and your emails in that fabulous chat room. So get those voicemails coming. 909-345-3346. That's 909-345-3346. Jump in there with those voicemails. Get those things coming so we can feature those on this upcoming episode. I've already got a bunch to get to, but we always love more. More of you and less of us is a good thing. Also, emails. You can email the show at any time. That is show@RaidersFanRadio.com. That's show@RaidersFanRadio.com. Just send us an email there, and we will read it on the show. And the best part about doing all this is that once you get your email read an indefinite amount of times, or you get your voicemail played 3 times, we refer to you then going forward as a made man or a made woman here in the fan cave. And so we appreciate all of you that are already made. There's like, I don't know, 30 some odd of you now that have done that, and it's so cool. And so we appreciate our listeners so very much, and the support you give us each and every week. So hit that subscribe, hit that like. That's all we ask. Got some amazing reviews here lately on iTunes. Please keep doing that stuff. That's all we ask from you, aside from the donation stuff that we ask for when we're just trying to benefit different charities. But other than that, all we ask for you from you is just hit the button, man. Hit the button. Hit the damn button, nerd.
Just press the damn button, nerd.
Just do it. Just hit that thumbs up. Hit the bell. Smash the bell, as the kids say. Write us reviews. Subscribe. Do all that stuff, please. That really helps us out here in the fan cave. All right, we got a lot to get to tonight, so let's go ahead and jump into it.
What's up, everyone? This is Marius Hurst with the Las Vegas Raiders, and you're listening to Raiders Fan Radio with Murph, Mosh, and Swag Jeff. Just win, baby. Thanks.
All right, so we're going to jump in first off out of the gate here. We're going to get into, gosh, we got so many clips to get to, and we're going to feature more, too, coming up on RFR Live. But for tonight, we're going to get into a lot of stuff, some media stuff, but a lot of things from the players and from the coaches. So let's go ahead and start off at the top of the food chain. Let's hear from the man. He is Chucky. He is John Gruden. And here he is talking about Lynn Bowden and Darren Waller on offense.
John Vitti with the Las Vegas Review Journal. First time we got a chance to see the offense against defense and some situational stuff. Looked like your young secondary was up to the challenge. Damon Arnette looked pretty decent out there. Can you talk about the young secondary and Damon in particular?
Well, you said it. They're young and they're athletic, and we got a long way to go. They had some good snaps. They had some bad snaps, but we had good competition today, and we're excited about the youth that we have. Obviously, we've rebuilt our defense, and it's a process.
Hey, John, it's Tashawn Reed from The Athletic. I know we asked you earlier this year, but I just wanted to ask about the, I guess, rotation that you have that included players like Josh Jacobs and Trent Brown. Is there, what's the logic to that rotation? Is it a thing where a guy's off 1 week, on 1 week, or is it kind of just going?
I guess a head coach gets to make a few decisions along the way, and you'll see those guys soon enough.
John, on that same note, are there other players that are going to kind of go through this same process where they're out for a few days and come back?
They're not out. They're still working. You don't see them, but they're working. They're not out. They're working in a different capacity. And we need the time on task with some of these players who we have no idea about. So, chance to see Devontae Booker and Lynn Bowden. Lynn Bowden's making a transition from quarterback to running back. Devontae Booker's learning a new system. Neither one of them took a snap in the offseason. I want to see him. And I have stuff in here for Jacobs and some of the other guys, Trent Brown, to do right now.
Hey, John, just want to check in on Mariota. What's his transition been like so far?
He's interesting. He took off a couple times today. Really fired me up. He's been hurt. Looked like the ankle has really turned the corner. He's a dazzling playmaker with his feet, and that's the key to his game. So I saw that, glimpses of that today. It was exciting. Started off slow in 7-on-7, but picked it up, had a nice day. Had a really nice day.
Hey, Coach, Willie Ramirez with the AP. Darren Waller, he obviously had a bit of a rough start to his career, and he's been with the Raiders since you've been there. How have you seen his maturity over the years? And how do you feel he can progress when you bring a guy like Whitney into and maybe sort of mentor him a little bit? You just talk about him, Waller.
We think he's a superstar. We think he's a great tight end. And I know two tight ends got paid a lot of money yesterday. We're happy to have our guy. He can do it all. He can block. He can run any route. He's got great stamina. And, you know, you said it. He had a dark portion of his life there for a while that not a lot of people come back from. And I hope a lot of young people out there get the real story behind Waller. You can beat addiction if you just listen to Darren Waller and how he did it. He is a great source of, I think, leadership and proof that you can be great even though you've had some really dark, dark times.
Oh, man, that's great stuff from Coach there. And, yeah, man, I mean, we here at RFR and in the Fan Cave, I mean, we're all about a redemption story, man. For those of, you know, us that speak, you know, personally through our faith or otherwise, or even outside of that, we're all about redemption, man. And it's about, you know, not about what you do necessarily in terms of the mistake. It's, what you do to recover from it, what you do in response to that. I tell my boys all the time, I got two teenage boys. It's not about the mistake you make. That's not what defines your character. Doing something wrong doesn't define your character. What you do about it is what defines your character, because we're all flawed. We're all human. And we're going to do things. And so it's a remarkable story. If you don't know Darren Waller's story, definitely seek it out. He does a great job on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast with the Boy Will Compton and Taylor Lewan. kind of recounting and going over the things that he battled with. And so definitely seek that out, Raider Nation. It's I don't even want to talk about it too much because I don't want to do it injustice. Go find it and listen to Darren Waller tell you his story. It will impact you. Even if you don't struggle in those areas or, you know, don't know anybody and you know, God willing, you don't have those battles in your life, but they are real for a lot of us at different times. And so anyway, seek that out. And knowing that Darren can come back from it is a pretty remarkable story as coach so put so well there. So so great stuff there. So and you know, you also heard in that clip there, John referred to Marcus Mariota. And, you know, as soon as I hear the name Marcus Mariota on this show, you know what happens. That's right. I think of my buddy Swag Jeff. Now, he doesn't have an Aloha corner this week, so I'll just jump in for you, Swaggo. Let me just say this. I'm really excited about Marcus Mariota, as you should be too, Raider Nation, and here's why. Not because I think he's going to be our starting quarterback. Not because I want to see him usurp Derek Carr. I'm just excited about the competition, man. It's like the idea that the coach is willing to get you know, out in the face of the media and in the public and be complimentary of the backup quarterback, like that's got to motivate Derek Carr. And so I really hope that it does, and I hope that it motivates him in a way that he gets everything together and you know, his skills, which he's got immense skills. We know that about Derek. I just hope that those eventually, now with that motivation, translates to wins on the field. So great stuff there from Coach. And and so we're thinking of you, Swaggo. We miss you tonight, and I know Marcus misses you too. All right, speaking of coaches, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Speaking of the hot seat, now look, I think – you know, Derek isn't necessarily, quote, on the hot seat, but I think this guy is. You know, I don't know. I'm not in the room. I'm not in Henderson. I'm so used to saying Alameda. I'm not within the walls of Henderson, but I got to imagine that defensively, you know, the underperforming nature of it, of the team over the past couple of years has gotten a lot of attention from not only Mike Mayock, but of course, John Gruden as well. And I think that's what led to the hiring of Rod Marinelli, which we're going to hear from in a minute. But so anyway, so on the hot seat is Paul Gunther. And I got to think that should the team be 1-4 going into the bye week this year, it's not Derek's fault. Like, will Derek be held accountable and will we change starting quarterback? I don't know. It depends on how he plays, I guess. But ultimately, like if they are 1-4 or God forbid 0-5 or even 2-3, maybe depending on how they play, this is the guy that's going to get let go at the bye week. This is the guy because, you know, much like Mariota is going to now be with the team through the entirety of the offseason, even though it's limited because of COVID, and be prepared to take the job over, this guy for sure is. And this guy's a former head coach. And you know what I mean? Like everything is lining up for Rod Marinelli here. And Paul Gunther has got to know that. So a lot of pressure on him, a lot of new parts on defense. So the pressure's on for him to get it done. And so anyways, first time we're going to hear from him now in the 2020 season. Let's check in with PG.
Levi Damian from USA Today.
And hey, let me say this too. A lot of these reporter questions, and I leave them in there because I want you guys to have a reference to what the question was, so it makes more sense when you hear the answer because you get it within context. Their voices are really blown out, and it's because they're like socially distanced and they're speaking through like megaphones and stuff or this PA system thing. It's really lame. It's not getting recorded directly like the coaches are. So you have to forgive me on the audio quality of it because I know it sounds really blown out. It does to me in my ears sitting here in the studio listening to it. But I wanted you to be able to have it as a reference point.
We've all seen by now the interception that the Raiders put out on Twitter by Damon Arnett covering Henry Ruggs. I just want to know from your take, from what you've seen from Arnett, how much and what should we take from what we saw from him in that clip?
It's just that he's a talented corner. That's why we drafted him. He's not scared. He's real patient at the line of scrimmage. He trusts his speed and his technique. And you know, that's what really we expect out of him each and every day when he goes out there. You know, I don't understand what, you know, it was a good play, but that's what he's supposed to do. That's why we brought him here, and we're excited to have him.
Chris, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks, Coach. I appreciate it. Can you just talk to me a little bit about, probably don't get a chance to really see a lot about this guy, but Javon White, the UNLV kid, the linebacker. Can you kind of just talk about how he's progressed, what you like about this guy, and kind of his future?
Yeah, I mean, he's done a nice job for us. He's still got a long way to go. He's a, you know, it's a natural progression as a rookie linebacker trying to learn some of the different coverages and the run fits and all that stuff. But he's a good communicator in there. He's still learning. You know, he'll have a good play and a play he needs to clean up. So he's a typical guy, a rookie guy that has some talent that we're excited to work with.
Yeah, Paul, Jerry McDonald from Barry News Group. How you
doing?
Hey,
Jerry.
How you doing, man?
Good. Hey, you talked a little bit about Malik Collins the last time, compared to like Geno Atkins, and John has talked him up. I'm curious as to, you know, if someone put you in a laboratory and say, here, construct the perfect three technique, what attributes would you want?
They got to have great quickness off the ball. They're the penetrator of our defense. They're great quickness, great counter moves. They can rush, they can take on double teams. So it's kind of a really an all-encompassing position where you're rushing, you're taking on double teams, you can win inside on a guard, we can stun him in the run game. So he can do all those things. And the thing I think is most impressed about this guy, he's smart. I think this guy, when he's done playing, is going to be a fantastic coach. But he's communicating with our young guys, technique, games on the line of scrimmage. I'm really excited to have this guy. This has been a great pickup for us.
All right, so something there, and love to hear Jerry on there. Good friend of the show, Jerry McDonald. He's not really. He's a good friend to us, but he doesn't know that he's our good friend. So appreciate PG there, and appreciate Jerry. So Jerry asked a question about a three technique. So what is that? You hear a lot of that about, like, oh, this guy plays a zero or a one or he's a five or whatever. Like, and so in this case, a three. All that is like a defensive alignment. So if you think about lining up, and this is almost some fundamentals, think about lining up straight up nose, like the idea of like a nose tackle, that would be like right up nose to the center, like nose to nose with the center, right? Like the defensive tackle. And then to either side of the center, either like on one shoulder or the other, that's the one. So that's the one technique, right? And then as you spread out towards the tackles on either side, it doesn't matter. There's different gap responsibilities there. But basically, and they have different things. I won't get into the whole thing, but like you have different assignments based on what your alignment is. But anyways, if you think about that number going from zero to like five, as you extend out, that determines what position that defensive lineman is on the line. So in this case, he's a three technique. So what does that mean? So we go from zero, which would be dead on the center. We go to one, which would be off the center shoulder. Then you have like a two inside, which would be inside the guard shoulder, or a straight up two would be straight up on the guard, or then three would be on the guard's outside shoulder. So that's where the three technique would align out there. So basically, like, you're in between the guard and the tackle, but you're leaning into the shoulder of the guard. And what does that mean is that you're just responsible for that B gap there, that second gap there between the tackle and the guard. That's kind of your responsibility there. And then you heard PG break it down even more so on what they're looking for him as that three technique there. So really cool stuff there. If for anybody that's a football nerd, like I am, like, you know what I mean? Like, we love that kind of stuff. That's like, and if you really like that stuff, like, follow people like Ted Wynn on Twitter. Like, those are the guys that like break down film and like really get into like the minutia of the coaching, the X's and O's of it and stuff. And it's fascinating stuff. So I love it when the coaches kind of speak to that, because then when you're watching the game on Sunday, like, it really adds a different layer of like understanding to it. And it's fun because you get to see how all this stuff starts to play out. You start to see the strategy of it unfold there. So really cool stuff there from PG. Appreciate that. So, all right, I mentioned Marinelli, and I mentioned how he's kind of hot on PG's tail here in terms of, you know, being a very capable defensive coordinator to step in. And, you know, Marinelli, like, it's funny. So he's like the nicest guy on the planet. I mean, I don't know. I never had dinner with him, but like, and when you listen to him and the way that he speaks, he just sounds like the nicest guy. But it's funny, 'cause in this clip that I pulled, he's like got this like wide brim hat on, and he's got these glasses, and he's got this like neck gaiter thing on. And like, he looks like a freaking like like a diabolical leader of some syndicate, like some crime boss, man. But he's listened to him and he's the nicest man. Like, but it's so funny. Like, he looks like a badass, man, when he's the way he's all like decked out in this whole garb. And I actually put a tweet out this week and saying that this guy looks like the head of a crime syndicate. But anyways, it's pretty cool there. So anyways, great stuff there from Marinelli. We heard from Gruden last week that, like, you know, this wasn't a knock against Coach Buck to bring on Marinelli as the D-line coach. This was like when you have a made man like Marinelli and you have an opportunity to put him on your staff, you do it because the guy's, you know, he's got all the bona fides. It's not necessarily a knock against the guy that was already there. It's just like, you know, just like with anything, you have a chance to upgrade, you upgrade. And unfortunately, Coach Buck doesn't have the resume yet that Marinelli does. I'm trusting Coach Buck will one day because he's freaking awesome. But anyway, so that's where Marinelli's at. Plus, you know, was Buck capable of stepping in and being the defensive coordinator? Should they let PG go at the bye week? Probably not. So where Marinelli slides right on in there. So anyways, enough of me. Let's get to Rod.
Hi, Coach. Anthony Flipper, Fresno B. Earlier this year, Coach Gruden reached out to you about the coaching position. What was your determining factor in your decision to join the Raiders?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. I worked for Coach in Tampa Bay, won a Super Bowl with him. I understand what he's about. I understand his intensity, his passion for the game, and that was an immediate draw to come back with him.
Rod, Vinny with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. The fact that they had a good young, you know, up-and-coming kind of a defensive line with some young pieces and then also made some investments in free agency, did that help your decision? And what have you seen so far from this young group?
I thought it all played. When I was in Dallas last year, I watched them on tape a ton. And you can see they got some young guys. It's got some nice talent and all those things. But I think just getting back with Coach Gruden, I know what he's going to do. I know he's going to go get players. And I just like the system he runs, and I like the approach.
Hey, Rod, Jerry McDonald from the Berrien News Group. You know, for all the years you've been in coaching, this year presents a different challenge than any other time. I'm wondering just sort of your observations on, you know, having to do all your teaching and the techniques and everything that you're doing in this compacted short period of time and with all the testing and everything going on. What has it been like?
Just got to deal with it. Just deal with it. I don't explain it. Deal with it. Move on.
Hey, Rod, this is Tashawn Reed from The Athletic. At this point in your career, with everything you've accomplished, what would you say is your primary motivation just as an individual?
Gosh, again, I apologize for this audio quality. Old Tashawn Reed there sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. It's crazy.
I couldn't quite hear that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Tashawn, us can either, Rod.
Speak up a little bit. He couldn't quite hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I was saying, just at this point in your career, with everything you've accomplished, what is your primary motivator just for you as an individual to keep going and pushing?
Yeah, I just think it's every day of my career, every day I've come to work, it's about developing men. I believe you develop the man first, and then you develop the player. That's critical for me. And once you reach that man, then you got a heck of a ball player. And that's one of my goals every year I come out here. And I love teaching. I love this game. Great opportunity to be with Coach Paul Gunther. But he's great reputation. I've heard of him. Couldn't wait to have an opportunity to work with him. I'm learning a lot of football. So that's always a great thing.
Hey, Coach Scott from Raider Nation Radio. I know you haven't had a lot of time.
Raider Nation Radio. Raiders fan radio, buddy.
With this unit, but the time you have had working with them, what's sort of the personality? What do you notice about this, having coached so many different types of lines with different veterans and rookies alike?
The one thing, you know, they got good movement, good skill, okay? And we got nice length up there. And I think the football character is something I judge a lot. Football character, I think they really love it. And but at the end of the day, it's a show-me game. I've always believed that, so we'll find out what we have when we open the season up. I like them, but it's still a show-me game.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is Pete Koch, former Los Angeles Raider. Yeah, back in the old days, baby. And you're listening to Murph and Uncle Mosh, who happens to have the same hair as me. Check it out. Raiders Fan Radio.
All right, appreciate Raider Nation checking us out tonight. Appreciate all of you. Appreciate Pete Koch, man. Got to catch up with our buddy Pete this last week. That's in your Murph's Fan Cave audio podcast feed. Please check that out. Man, Pete breaks down a lot of cool stuff. Of course, we talk a little bit about the Raiders, but we got into a lot of health and fitness, got into a lot of stuff around, you know, exercising around the pandemic, exercising around COVID, getting up and moving, and the importance of that, the importance of, body health during times like this. And so great stuff there from our good friend, Pete Koch. So appreciate him. And again, thanks to you for checking us out. And all right, so let's jump into the next clip here. One of the guys, all right, those of you that have listened to the show long enough, and look, we get new listeners every week. So let me just kind of throw this out there to you. I rally against, quote, haters in the media a lot. There are some media members that just flat out have a case of the ass for the Raiders. Unfortunately, it is spread into a lot of the former local writers and beat writers. I'm not going to call those guys out by name, but they know who they are. I'll give you a glaring example is Greg Papa. I said I was going to call anybody out, and then look what I just did, but it's whatever. It is what it is, man. Like they were sour grapes and they rally against the team because of their own personal agendas, you know, and look, and I get it that, you know, a lot of folks lost their jobs because the Raiders moved. And so I understand, the whatever towards the team, but the way that it's turned into this vinegar and the way that they've lashed out on social media at the team, that doesn't sit well with me, and I don't care for it. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, other like more national people like Michael Lombardi or, you know, Mike Florio, or like there's so many people, he's one too, but kind of, but freaking Colin Coward here lately. Like, could there be a bigger flip flopper in national sports media than Colin Coward? Like the guy freaking calls the Raiders out one week, you know, calls them, you know, whatever ABC gives them down the road one week. And then the next day, like he's saying like, oh, you know, Derek Carr is underrated. And then the next week he says that like Marcus Mariota will be starting by week 5. And like the guy just like flip flops. Like he gives you like every opinion like out there just so he's never wrong. Cause then he can just say, well, see, I told you so. Well, yeah. Cause you had every opinion. Like you can't bet, you know what? And you bet every number when you're playing roulette, guess what? One of them's going to hit. Like it's ridiculous. So anyways, there's a lot of haters out there, a lot of haters. And one of them is Mike Silver. Like I can't stand Mike Silver 99.9% of the time, because all he does is take a dump on the Raiders every chance that he possibly can. Well, he was on NFL Network speaking about Derek Carr, and I thought it was actually a fair take. So look, as much as I'm willing to be critical of these guys and to take runs at Tim Kawakami and whoever else like wants to, you know, show their rear when it comes to the Raiders, I got to be man enough to be like, hey, look, this was a fair take from that person. Even though I don't like your stance 99.9% of the time, I'm going to, you know, give you the platform. Not that you need my platform. You're on NFL Network, but you get what I'm saying. If I'm going to call you out on this dopey little show, then I'm going to give you props on this dopey little show too. So anyways, here's Mike Silver. And I thought with some very fair comments on Derek Carr.
Everyone wants to say, Silver, that they're going to see Marcus Mariota at one point this year. It was the opposite last year. Mariota lasted 6 games and then Ryan Tannehill took his job. How is this going to work?
Well, listen, John Gruden has had ample opportunity to replace Derek Carr since coming back for his second stint as Raiders coach, and he still hasn't done it. And I know he likes to get infatuated with veteran quarterbacks and talk them up, as he's been doing lately with Marcus Mariota. But in reality, Derek Carr has a very firm hold on this job, at least for this season. And you know, Derek Carr has not been perfect during his career, but he's also had more adversity than the average quarterback. Since entering the league in 2014, the Raiders have given up 26 points per game. That's more than any team during the league or in the league during that period. He's also managed 18 fourth quarter comebacks during that time, which ties him with Matthew Stafford atop the league, partly because Carr has had so many chances. He has trailed in the fourth quarter in 54 of his 94 career starts. So the Raiders may, at least in their estimation, be in position to end that trend this year and be ahead in the fourth quarter, perhaps comfortably a little more often. They love their new offense with Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards infusing it with some youth, Jason Witten with some experience, Josh Jacobs, the bell cow back, and an offensive line that inside that building they believe is the best in the league, and they believe the defense will be better, which would be a welcome change. Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski coming via free agency to give them some oomph in the middle. And, you know, every team is optimistic this time of year, but right now, a year after talking about helmets and frozen feet and the Antonio Brown drama during training camp, the Raiders are in a pretty happy place.
Yeah, happy place. And my final note here on the whole quarterback thing, Derek Carr feels disrespected. I get it. I think so much of this conversation is actually a reflection on his coach, not to be negative here. The fact is, everyone knows John Gruden has a long track record. He sours quickly on quarterbacks. It's just who he is. You know, he loves the shiny object.
That's true. That's all true. But my understanding in that building is that John Gruden is more staunchly behind Derek Carr than maybe people at the very top of the organization, like in the owner's box.
Oh, so there you go. There's your nugget to take away from that. There is that maybe somebody in the owner's box is soured on Derek Carr a lot more than the coach John Gruden is. Very interesting stuff there. And I thought very fair analysis coming from Mike Silver. All right, I feel yucky going on and on about this guy. Great job there, Mike. All right, next up, speaking of NFL Network, let's go to, these are always fun. You know, David Carr is a resident there on NFL Network on a multitude of their shows. Also is James Jones, former San Jose State Spartan. Shout out San Jose State. And Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and of course was there for Derek in Derek's rookie season and shortly thereafter. And, you know, James Jones, I think, caught like Derek Carr's second touchdown pass ever. Anyways, so it's kind of like a family affair here, and you'll even hear Derek say something pretty funny about that as he joins those guys on NFL Network and talks a little bit about the preseason.
Man.
Hey,
buddy.
Two brothers.
What's going on, man?
Hey, so it's kind of a weird deal now. You're in training camp, but you're not. So I was talking actually with some of our guys here. And remember when I went to college and you were about 6 years old and you wouldn't really talk to me when I came home because you were mad that I left and like kind of just left you on your own with my parents? Remember that? So it's kind of like the same thing, right? So like Dallas and Decker and Deacon, like they lose you at training camp, but then you get to come back. So is there similarities there at all?
You know, what's weird about this is, you know, you guys know how when you go to training camp and you don't see your kids for a while, right? You know, it's mm-hmm. a couple of weeks, a couple of days in between each time and visits and all that. And when you come through the door, they go nuts, right? Well, we had no OTAs, you know, we had no meetings during the off season. So I'm home every day. And then in training camp, I'm home every day again. And so they're kind of like, what's up, Dad? When I walk in the door, and then they keep playing. So there's no fireworks going off when you come home right now. But besides that, it's actually been really different. It's been really cool, though.
Yeah, it's cool. So, okay. So there's a lot of excitement, obviously, for the Raiders. We've talked about it, and moving to Las Vegas, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of expectations for the team, and rightfully so, good football team. We were talking about this last hour, and it kind of got brought up, like, is there pressure on Derek? And I was like, not really pressure. Mm. The expectations are real. There's no pressure when you have pieces now. So, I mean, when you don't have the pieces and you don't have, you know, guys that can match up and you're kind of a little bit behind, then, yeah, that's a lot of pressure. You know, Joe Burrow's under a lot of pressure. But just talk about the expectations and how some of that pressure may be eliminated now that you have, you know, you got a Henry Ruggs and you got some guys that are kind of stepping up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know me, both of you know me. It doesn't matter what our record is, whatever. No one's going to put more pressure on me than I do. And the people closest to me know that. James, you know, we played together. You know that. And what's nice about this is I got a group of guys around me that are trying to take a lot of pressure off of me. They say it every day, you don't got to do it by yourself. We got you. You know, or they, you know, little things like that where teammates will say, hey, just throw me that ball. I'll make that play. Don't worry about it. You know, and it's a comforting feeling, you know, since we got into training camp, you know, there's no added pressure. There's only added pressure from people that don't know what's going on. But, you know, from our team, the only thing we're thinking about is improving, right? We, you know, Coach Gruden's first year won a few games. Then last year we improved drastically. And this year we want to improve drastically again. So as long as we're continuing going up and making a run now at the playoffs and trying to win a championship, we feel in our building that we can do that. But we have to go prove it and we have to go do it. But that's kind of where our feeling's at. You know, my focus is way too much on my job and what I have to do every single day as a leader and as a quarterback. You know, the wins and all that kind of stuff will take care of itself if everyone does their job.
You know what, my brother? You know, I hope it's the defense coming up to you saying we got you, brother, because over your career, they ain't had you. You know what I'm saying? They've been bottom of the barrel. And we can talk like this now because we on TV. I know you don't want to put your teammates down, but, man, they have not helped you. You know what I mean? Everybody want to say, oh, D.C. got to do this, D.C. got to do that. Man, the defense has not helped you. Tom Brady, Super Bowl, top 10 defense. Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl, top 10 defense. Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl, defense stepped up. Derek Carr, defense, bottom of the list. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that some of those guys that's coming up to you saying, hey, don't worry about it. It ain't all on you, bro. We got you. But with that being said, I want to talk to you. Everybody talks about Henry Ruggs. We know the speed he has. We know they drafted him. He run a 4.2 and all that. But it was some other guys they drafted, too. Talk to us a little bit about these third-round, fourth-round wide receivers that you guys took that might have a shot to come in here and impact this game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, Bryan Edwards reminds me a lot of you, James. You know, obviously not as fast, right, James? You're 4.3, right?
Thank you. Thank you.
But, you know, but Bryan reminds me a lot of you. You know, there was a lot of times, you know, when we were playing at that back shoulder fade that, you know, you and I just would connect on for at least the first 3 weeks, you know, until Rod got hurt. But, you know, we were throwing the heck out of the jump balls, then back shoulder fades, all those kind of things. And those 50-50 balls, as we see them on tape right now. But one of my second touchdown in my career was a jump ball to you, you know, where you went up and got it one handed. He reminds me of that guy that I can trust and that guy that I can just throw that ball up to and know that he's going to get it or nobody is. And he's done a fantastic job of proving that every day in one-on-ones and proving it every day in our team drills. And every time I correct him or things like that, he does exactly what I ask him to do. And so the kid is special, but he does remind me a lot of your game, the ball skills that he has. And like you said, we've heard about Henry Ruggs and his speed and his routes. And yes, we're excited about that, but Bryan and Lynn Bowden, the quarterback / receiver / running back that we drafted, you know, he's learning how to pass protect right now. You know, these pads are on, so he's learning how to do that, you know, and he's doing a great job at it. The way he can run routes and really carry the football with his vision is impressive. And the defensive guys that we drafted, these guys are just unbelievable, man. The talent and the ready-to-play mentality that they already have with no offseason, it's really been very – very impressive to me how these young guys have stepped up during training camp already.
I freaking knew it.
Hey, this is Steve Corcoran of RaidersSnakeheads.com, and you're listening to Sonny and Murph Raiders Fan Radio. It's the best around.
I freaking knew it, man. I've been saying for how long, guys? Derek Carr misses Michael Crabtree more than he misses Amari Cooper. He misses Andre Holmes and Jared Cook and, you know, clearly James Jones, because they had that ability to high point the football and bully somebody, and he could trust them to go up and get it. And he hasn't had that as of late. I'm telling you, the addition of Bryan Edwards is going to be huge, and I cannot wait. Now, we got some bad news today that Tyrell Williams has a torn labrum. I don't know what the recovery time is of that. I'm assuming it's weeks. And we're like 2 weeks away from the freaking, you know, getting the season going here. We're right around the corner. So that doesn't spell good. But the good, I mean, It's not good for Ty Williams, but, you know, look, at the Raiders have depth, like a lot of depth. So thank goodness we have people like Nelson Aguilar and Zay Jones bumping around, because now all of a sudden we got depth. And I think Bryan Edwards is going to be huge for this offense and huge for Derek Carr. And so I'm so glad to hear that, not because it confirms, you know, my opinion, but it does. And so thanks, because it's kind of like that's what we've all been wondering, but you haven't heard him say that. And it's, you know, and Derek's a nice guy. He doesn't want to like bust people out and like have the people that are on the roster, you know, feel like he doesn't have confidence in them. But really, that's what it was like. And so glad to hear some truth there. Glad to hear some honesty from him, and really excited to see where this thing's getting ready to go. All right, we're getting ready to long again tonight. Gosh, I'm sorry, guys. So I had a whole bunch of stuff. I had clips from Jeff Heath, clips from Nick Kwiatkowski, because we hadn't heard from these guys. Also have clips from Malik Collins. So I'm going to blast these things out. Just, I'm going to shut up in between takes here. And
will you stifle yourself?
Yes, I will, because
we're running out of time. My life is running out of lifespan.
So I'm going to hit Heath. I'm going to hit Kwiatkowski. I'm going to hit Malik Collins. One, two, three. Here we go.
Just simulate as best as you can situations and, you know, going full speed, covering all that. But it's a completely different dynamic when pads are on. The game seems to speed up even another step. So, you know, it's definitely, we need a lot of practices and pads before we're ready to play, for sure.
Hey, Jeff, it's Deshaun Reed with The Athletic. You had a pretty big role with the Cowboys, both as a starter and on special teams.
Yeah, you know, my role is just going to be to help the team in any way I can, you know, whether that's as a safety. Obviously, I know I'll be on special teams a lot. So, you know, at this point in my career, I just want to contribute, be on a good team, contribute, and you know, be a leader. Help. We have a really young team, really young secondary in particular, and you know, hopefully, just give those guys some knowledge and just, you know, help anywhere I can.
Oh, my buddy Murph.
He's not just consistent; he's a man of his word.
Obviously, you're going to get a lot of questions from my colleagues on on-field play. I'm just curious about the Raider environment for you off the field. Your thoughts on the organization, just how things are going, please.
So far, it's been great. You know, rich history. I mean, that's part of the reason I came here. You know, just the communication, you know, from top to bottom has been great since we've been here. You know, a big concern for players around the league was just the health and safety coming to this building, and I think they're doing a great job as well.
Hey, Nick, it's Josh Shubel from Associated Press. John's talked about you wearing the green dot. Just, did you do that at all in Chicago? And just what are you sort of working on just in terms of being the communicator on the defense?
Yeah, I did it a bunch in Chicago, off and on since the time I've been there. So it's something I'm used to. But just for here, I'm just kind of, right now, is just working on communicating with Corey. You know, he's right next to me, helping him with calls. And then just overall communication with the defense. We lost a lot of time in spring, so I mean, just right now, I mean, it's a big part of what I'm trying to do in the field right now.
Hey, Nick, it's Tashawn Reed from The Athletic. I know we talked earlier this summer. You said you were kind of going through an acclimation period. Obviously, you have to do everything virtually. How have you adjusted now that you're able to be here in person and sort of start to work with the coaches that you've been working with through these Zoom meetings and get in with your teammates?
It's definitely a nice, you know, just to finally meet people in person, kind of get an understanding of how things are going to work from here on out. And just being on the field, you know, it's, you sit in Zoom meetings, you look at pictures, watch film. It's nothing like actually getting on the field and doing things, you know, working on technique, you know, just making those communications in person rather than Zoom. So, I mean, just being here is it feels great. I mean, it's very helpful.
Malik, it's Tashawn Reed from The Athletic. How has it helped you with your transition having Coach Marinelli here with you?
It helped a lot. I'm familiar with his scheme. I'm familiar with how he coaches. I'm familiar with his system. And I mean, I just, I'm thankful to be back with him again.
Hi, Malik. Levi Damian from USA Today. I wonder, they're talking a lot about, you know, your leadership qualities and, you know, mentoring and things like that. Is that something that when they wanted you to come to the team, they asked you to do, or is it just something that you just naturally do?
I mean, when I talked with Gruden, when I first was planning on coming here, he told me to just come in and just be myself. So, I mean, that's what I've been trying to do to my best of my ability, just do things that I normally do. I'm not a big speech guy, not a big hoorah guy. Kind of just lead by example and just do things the right way.
Malik, Rod has a strong track record of developing defensive linemen and defensive lines. He's also kind of a colorful character, it seems like. For teammates that may not have known about his style, how would you describe his style and coaching techniques?
He's demanding, and I say that in a good way. Like, he wants you to be the same guy every day. So that's the main thing. He wants to be consistent as players just as he is as coaching. And people don't realize when you got a coach that demands that you run to the ball, demands that you're the same guy every day, that's demanding on them too, because they got to be the same guy every day. So, I mean, that's just who he is. I mean, he's like an old drill sergeant. He's going to get it out of you every chance he can.
From the Rich Eisen Show.
And it's Del Tufo from the Rich Eisen Show.
You're listening to Murph and Mosh on Raiders Fan Radio. Yes!
All right, appreciate you joining us here tonight in Murph's Fan Cave for this episode of RFR Rundown. So interesting there. So we heard from the three guys, Jeff Heath, Kwiatkowski, and Malik Collins, three key additions to the defense this year. Jeff, of course, is going to hold down a big chunk of our secondary, then the back half of the secondary, and then also contribute on special teams. Kwiatkowski there mentioned, wearing the green dot, and one of the guy that wore the green dot last year for the Raiders in the back half of the season was the boy Will Compton, man, was our guy. Just to give you a quick update on Comp, he worked out for the Titans today. And, and wish Comp the best of luck. You know, if he's not going to be a Raider, I would root for him to be a Titan, being that, you know, he makes Middle Tennessee his home. And you know, this is where a lot of his roots have been planted. So I know that, on the human level, I'm rooting for him to find a home in Tennessee if it's not Oakland. I'm still doing that. Tennessee, if it's not Vegas. We all want him to be a Vegas Raider. And I can say this now because he's mentioned it on his own podcast. He's been in talks with the Raiders. There's some things that I still won't divulge yet because he shared some things with us in confidence when he was here in the Fan Cave. There are some elements of his talks that have slowed down him re-signing with the team. I think that's fair to say. And so he's still kind of out there and now he's working out with the Titans. So I think that's a fair way for me to kind of say what's going on. And I only say that he asked us to keep it to ourselves, until it kind of became more widespread. And now that he's said that on his own podcast, I think it's okay for me to share that with you guys. So just know that he's been in talks with the Raiders. So they haven't forgotten about him. So I know a lot of you out there like us are rooting for the boy to be a Raider. And the Raiders want him in what capacity yet? That remains to be seen. So we'll see. And it's a business. So if he gets a, phenomenal offer from another team, he's going to take it because this is his job. He's not a fan, right? So, anyways, we wish the boy Will Compton the best of luck, and we'll see if he ends up being a Titan or a Raider or something else this year. All right. Last story I'm going to get to tonight. We're going to get into more of this on Wednesday when we get Mosh here, because I want to talk to him a lot about it, and Swag too, but I want to hear Mosh.
Uncle Mosh, you're the smartest man alive.
That's exactly right.
Murph, Swag, Jeff, and who's the third guy?
I want to hear from Mosh because this is a historical, kind of a story, and that's where Mosh gives us some tremendous insight. Because, look, when the Raiders won their last Super Bowl, I was 11 years old. So actually, it wasn't even 11 yet. I was 10, right? Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a long time, and I'm an old guy, and it's been that long. So, and Mosh is older, so he has a different reference point. And so this week it was announced that Tom Flores is a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, for those of you that listened to us for a while, you know what my position is on it. But as I mentioned earlier, too, we get a lot of new listeners to the show every week. And I'm going to save you the full rant on everything, but just know this, that I think there are some very glaring omissions, or at least to this point, oversights to the Pro Football Hall of Fame when it comes to the Oakland, Los Angeles, now Las Vegas Raiders. Cliff Branch is number one on my list, and I'll get to more of that on Wednesday's show and then even on the next episode of The Rundown. I don't feel that Flores was as big of a omission as some of the others. You could even say Steve Wisniewski. You could say Lester Hayes. Like, there's a lot of guys that are very deserving to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I do feel Flores, though, is one of them. I just don't feel that he is the one that's highest on the list. All that said, he's on the list now, and he's on the short list, and he's still alive. And that's, you know, the Raiders, well, the Pro Football Hall of Fame missed a huge opportunity to induct Kenny Stabler when he was still alive. Then he was inducted into the Hall of Fame posthumously. Sadly, we lost Cliff Branch, so he's going to be inducted posthumously. Tom Flores is no spring chicken. You know, the man is in great shape by all accounts and up and running. And we met him last year at the Biletnikoff Foundation Awards and a dinner and, you know, and shook his hand and took a picture. And he's very witty and sharp and had women hitting on him, frankly. Like, I mean, dude's doing fine. So here's the thing. Tom Flores could accept the nomination to the Hall of Fame, give an amazing speech, like bring a lot of freaking cool, like a really cool representation of the Raiders to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, part of me wants to think that this is a little bit of an attention grab by the Hall of Fame because, you know, the Raiders are the shiny new object literally this season. But it's time, though. You can't tell the story of pro football, of NFL football, of post-merger era of football without telling the story of Tom Flores. Even pre-merger, even the AFL story, you can't tell it without Tom Flores. And he's highly deserving based on his Raider career. When you isolate his Raider career and you look at his winning percentage and you look at the Super Bowl titles and you look at the adversities that that man has overcome, he's highly deserving of being nominated for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I can't wait because, you know, as now the common theme is that everybody's talking about, once you're a finalist, you're kind of like a shoe-in. So we're not going to, you know, pop the champagne yet because it's not a done deal, but let's definitely celebrate Coach Flores and not only his lifetime of 60 years worth of accomplishments in the NFL, but the fact that now here he is, he's getting ready to enter into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he went on our buddy Rich Eisen show to talk about it.
What was it like to get this phone call yesterday to say that you're a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame? And I should say that that you more often than not, usually, more than just usually, this does lead to enshrinement and getting the check mark from the committee. What was this phone call like for you, Tom, yesterday?
Well, when it finally happened, it was a little emotional when it finally happened. When I talked to David Baker, because it doesn't really matter when, it matters if you get in. Although I've been a little impatient and I've been a little reluctant to get excited because of what's happened the last two or three years, but still, it looks like this is going to be it. And I got a little emotional. I got tears in my eyes and just started thinking about the 60 years that I spent in professional football.
60 years, no question about it. Who did you think of? Anybody in particular, Tom?
No, I just go back to the first, you know, it's interesting. I went back to the first day. I did an interview the other day, 1960, Santa Cruz, California, first day in the existence of the Oakland Raiders. We didn't even know where Oakland was at the time, and we were having training camp at a high school, Santa Cruz. And I said, well, this AFL, let's see what happens. Where is Oakland anyway? We were playing in San Francisco and for 2 years, and we said, give it a shot, see what happens. I got the rest of my life to work doing something else. I had a teaching degree at the time, and here we are 61 years later. And, wow, a lot of things have happened.
First time you met Al Davis was when, Tom Flores?
63 when he came to Oakland. And he came from the San Diego Chargers with Sid Gilman. And the very first time I met Al, it was I liked what he did. I mean, we were introduced, and 10 minutes later, we were on the chalkboard talking football, passing game. And it was fun to talk to him about it because he was football, and more football. So he taught me a lot, and then he really rescued the Raiders because we were in a downspit.
So he was on the grease board. It was a short passing game, right, Tom? Just short passes, just little short passes, quick.
No. He wanted to go down. Yeah, he wanted to go downtown, boys. He said, "Bull with all these little dinks, let's go downtown."
Right. I bet.
All right, cool stuff there from Coach Flores. Man, so we wish him absolutely the best of luck. And as Rich said there, it's kind of a shoo-in that he's gonna make it there. So pretty cool stuff. All right, appreciate you joining me here for this episode of RFR Rundown, coming to you live from Merv's Fan Cave. Hit us up, man. Send those voicemails. Send those emails. 909-345-3346 as we get back to RFR Live coming up this Wednesday. And then the email is show, S-H-O-W, at RaidersFanRadio.com. Get those voicemails in, get those emails in, and we will feature them on the show, this upcoming episode of RFR Live. Also, coming back on Friday, man, we're going to have another episode of The Rundown. This one I'm going to do with Cousin Sonny, man. Cousin Sonny makes his return to Raiders Fan Radio, and we're going to do an episode of The Rundown on Friday, and so we'll have that to release to you guys over the weekend. That should about get us caught up on, I mean, actually, there was more today. Hunter Renfro out there, the accountant that you never knew you needed. The accountant is out there running routes, mic'd up. Henry Ruggs was mic'd up, so there's definitely still more for us to get to by the time we get to Friday and get to Cousin Sonny. So we'll have lots more Raider stories to bring to you on the RFR Rundown. But anyways, in the meantime, thank you again. Keep pushing those buttons. Keep ringing those bells. Keep calling. Keep emailing. We love you, Raider Nation. Thank you for supporting us the way that you do. You're the best. Go Raiders!
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some call it insight. Others call it vision. At Pershing, we call it perspective. A perspective you'll benefit from a custodian you can rely on. One who can help navigate the big picture and whose products give you a competitive edge. One who considers everything. What will help you succeed today and tomorrow? Open yourself to a new perspective and open the possibilities. Consider everything. BNY Mellon Pershing. Learn more at Pershing.com/RIA. Pershing Advisor Solutions, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.